The first scripture focus is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 17. Since we believe that Christ died for us all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, a big thank you to Patty and Quentin for filling in, preaching. We're so blessed to have some really talented people in our congregation who are willing to step up and fill that pulpit, and you guys did a great job, so thank you so much for that. It's good to be back. Cheryl and I were up at the cabin working, trying to get it all situated, and we wanted to get our final inspections done, and we were able to do that. We still got lots more to do in case anybody's like bored and want to come up with us sometime. We'll put you to work. But at least the inspections are done on it. And I tell you, I've discovered something this week. You really haven't had your relationship with Christ tested until you attempt a rock wall, you know, with the glue stuff. Especially if you use glue that's 3 years old because you bought the rocks 3 years ago and didn't have to, you know, now's the time, and I didn't know the glue doesn't have nearly as much stickiness. So the whole process, I get this rock, and I got this rock, I get this rock. I've got 8 rocks up. Everything's going great. I go to get to the next one, all of a sudden one pops off the wall. And so now my whole plan's messed up because this one popped off the wall and it broke. And so now it's, yes, my, so you should see the pictures. You know, I got sticks and I've got boards holding the rocks on the wall till this, it was, yeah, my frustration was at the breaking point as about the 12th rock fell off the wall. But I survived. It actually got done. And so God helped me through it without totally losing my composure. All right. Well, today we're starting a new series. And, you know, good morning, first of all, Living Water Church. And what a blessing to be together as a church family, to learn from God's word and to find ways to apply it to our lives. And today, this new series, we're going to be going deeper into our relationship with God. And this one's called The Life of Paul, Essential Qualities for Following Jesus. And I really believe these next several weeks, if you're able to be here and you can apply these essential qualities that we're going to be talking about, you're really going to see some deepening in your walk with God. And I think that God's going to do some neat things in our life. So if you go ahead and grab those message notes, grab a pencil or a pen, something to take some notes as we go along. And, you know, you might be thinking, you know, why spend 8 whole weeks studying the life of this guy named Paul? Well, for starters, whether you're familiar with Paul or you don't know anything about this guy, Paul's life left a permanent mark on the world. It's not even debatable. You know, and Paul's life left a deep-rooted mark on the church as well. Some quotes about the life of Paul. Adolf Deason said this about Paul. He said, "There's no single person since Nero's day who has left such a permanent mark on the souls of men as Paul, the new man, and he's still molding the world at the present moment." Theologian Lyman Abbott conceded this. He said, "The literary history of the world furnishes no parallel to the influence exerted by the writings of Paul, except such as is afforded by the history of the Bible in which those writings are found. And one more quote. Scholar F.F. Bruce, he wrote this: "No single event, apart from the Christ event itself, has proved so determinant for the course of Christian history as the conversion and commissioning of Paul." It's not even debatable as we think about his life. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, the Apostle Paul is one of the most influential human beings who has ever lived. So how did this happen? How did this seemingly insignificant Jewish religious leader and tent maker from way back in the first century, from this little town of Tarsus, which is a part of present-day Turkey, how did this guy make such an incredible impact on the world? How did he have such influence? So let me just tell you, it didn't happen by accident. There were essential qualities that God developed within Paul that allowed him to live such an impactful life, that allowed him to make such an incredible difference. And that's what we want to look at. We want to look at these essential qualities that Paul has. And so when we think about Paul, and especially the way I presented him, he can seem so imposing, can't he? I mean, he's bigger than life. He's better than, you know, you and me. And I mean, after all, some people call him Saint Paul. But let's look at some of the other things that we know about Paul. We know that Paul was short. We know that Paul struggled with some health problems. We know that Paul had really bad eyesight. And for all the traveling he did, Paul's health was actually fairly frail. And he describes himself as not being especially good-looking or a very good speaker. He had a very fiery temperament. And man, he could really hold a grudge. Just ask a younger colleague of his named John Mark about him holding grudges. And look, you maybe have never thought of Paul as a possible role model for yourself because maybe you thought of him almost as kind of almost perfect. And maybe you tend to look at more realistic role models from Scripture, like maybe Peter. I mean, Peter was always messing up. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. Or maybe you relate to Thomas. You know, after all, his nickname was Doubting Thomas, and maybe you've struggled with some doubts, and so you kind of relate to him. But I want you to see that the Bible gives us Paul as a role model for our faith, an example for our lives. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to some Christians he was communicating in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And I want to just begin with this series today, just having us read this short verse out loud together. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 1, starts with the word follow. And so, let's see, we got that one. Okay, we just have those words. Let's go ahead and do this. And you should imitate. Let's read this. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Apostle says, I want you to follow my example. I want you to imitate me. Following the example, because if you follow me, I'm following Jesus, and if you follow me, we'll all get to where we need to go. And so we're going to follow, and if we're going to follow this example of Paul, if we're going to develop some of these essential qualities of faith that Paul had in his life, and we want them in our lives, then we got to start all the way at the very beginning of his story, his conversion story, the moment he first surrendered to Jesus. So we're going to look at this essential quality of surrendering. Now, I know as soon as you kind of hear the word surrender, many of us are like, okay, I understand that word, I understand that concept, and I've already surrendered to God, and so I can kind of shut my mind off at this point and kind of coast today. But I don't want you to do that, because for one of two reasons that might be a part of your life. First thing is, it might be that you have someone in your life that you really need to share what surrendering is about. It could be one of your kids or grandkids. It could be a friend or a coworker. And hopefully this message might help you in having some words to say to help them understand what it means to truly surrender yourself to God. Or it might be that you're one of those persons who've come to church for many years and you've surrendered to God coming to church. You've surrendered to God some things like that, but there's many parts of your life that you haven't yet learned to surrender. And God might have something for you in that process. And so I hope you just kind of keep an open heart and mind to what the Holy Spirit might be blowing into your life as we talk about surrendering. Now, Paul's conversion story, when he became a Christian, it's one of the first ones we have in the New Testament. And it's one of the most famous ones in the Bible. It's so dramatic it has its own name, The Road to Damascus. The story starts out that Paul, who at this point he's named Saul, and so Saul is traveling this dusty road from Jerusalem to Damascus, and his mission is very simple and pointed. He had a letter in his hands from the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And he was to go and arrest and harass and through any means necessary disperse and dissuade the Christians that were in Damascus. His mission was to get rid of the newly formed church there, people known as followers of the way. His job was to get rid of them because he thought that Jesus was a fraud and that they were believing something that went against the Jewish teachings. And as Paul, who's called Saul at this point, is approaching Damascus, all of a sudden, a light appears from heaven and it completely blinds him. And through this light, Paul hears a clear and commanding voice, and it's the voice of Jesus. We find it in Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Look at what Jesus says. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And on that day, Paul met Jesus for the first time, and he surrendered his life to him. And Paul's life and the entire world changed forever on that day. Jesus then told Paul to go ahead, go on to Damascus, even though now he's blinded by this encounter. But instead of fulfilling his original mission, he was given a new mission by Jesus. And this encounter with Jesus had knocked Paul completely to the ground. And when he got up, he discovered he was blind. But in a lot of ways, Paul actually could see for the first time in his life things that truly mattered. And just like Paul was radically changed that day when he surrendered his life to Jesus, so too can you be completely changed when you surrender yourself to him. And so as we look at this, throughout the series on this life of Paul, we're going to look at some essential qualities that God developed in Paul to make him such a consequential follower of Jesus. We're going to examine some things that were in Paul's life that we can discover how to develop these same qualities in our life. You know, things like we're going to be looking at grit. That just tenacity to do the right thing, to move forward even when life is completely against you. We're going to look at the essential quality of joy, how Paul was able to have joy even when life wasn't perfect, when it was very difficult even, and how we can have joy in our life even when things aren't going the way we think they should be going. We're going to look at the essential quality of boldness and the ability to stand firmly for Jesus and live courageously. We're going to look at the essential quality of leadership and how to lead others in a godly way. We're going to look at the essential quality of generosity and how God blesses us so that we can bless others. We're going to look at the essential quality of self-discipline, and that's the ability to do the hard thing right now. And we're going to look finally at the essential quality of hope, which is probably the most important quality of all of them. Paul was always hopeful no matter what circumstance he found himself in. So I want to challenge you just to make a commitment today that you're going to be a part of this series as much as is possible for being a summer months series. In fact, on your connection card, if you look on the back of it, that's the third next step, just to say, I'm going to commit that I'm going to be here as much as I possibly can as God allows me during these summer months for the next 7 Sundays. And let me tell you, if you'll connect with this series and apply these essential qualities of life, you're going to begin to see them develop in your life. And they will make you become stronger and more mature and more joyful person. But also, let me be clear, if you want to develop the essential qualities like joy and grit and boldness and leadership and generosity and hope, well, all of those qualities begin with the essential quality of surrender. Until you've surrendered, these other things can't be developed in your life according to the Holy Spirit. And so we want to look at this foundational one because there is no limit to what Jesus can do in your life if you're truly, fully surrendered to him. Just kind of let that sink in. There is nothing There is no limit to what Jesus can do to your life and through your life if you are truly, fully surrendered to Him. So how do I develop that, this essential quality of surrender? Now, let me just start off with the realization that this isn't an easy quality to develop. Because surrender means you got to relinquish control, and we really don't like to relinquish control to anybody, even God. And so this is not an easy one to develop sometimes. It means that we need to let Jesus have control of every area of our life. So today what I want to do is I want to look at some actions that we find in the life of Paul that will help us discover the essential quality of surrender and how to bring that about in our life. Here's the first action that leads to surrender. It's kind of the first step, is that I surrender to Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. You know, I surrender Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And you would be amazed at how many people go to church every Sunday but have never actually purposely surrendered their life to Jesus. And so they come to church, but then they live the rest of the week however they want. And they think they're surrendered, but they've never actually done it. They are still in control of their own lives. They don't take into consideration, what is God wanting me to do today? How is He wanting to direct me? They just kind of live their own life and then come back to church on Sunday and they think they're in the right place, but they've never surrendered. This is the first step. So Paul surrendered to Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior on that road to Damascus. And that was the conversion experience that we just talked about. And in that moment, when Paul encountered Jesus, he realized that up to that point, he'd been living his life for all the wrong things. He realized that in that moment, he had missed the purpose of his life entirely. And in that moment, Paul surrendered to Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. Paul converted from being a persecutor of Christians to becoming a persecuted Christian. He became a follower of Jesus. And I want you to imagine how dramatic that conversion would have been. For Paul, as a Pharisee, going towards being the head Pharisee, to now becoming a follower of Jesus. That was a radical conversion. But I want you to know that you don't necessarily have to have this big story where a bright light shined and you became blind and just had this dramatic conversion story. That doesn't necessarily need to be your story. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It might be that in one of these services, God spoke to your heart and then you gave your life to Christ. Or maybe it was a time when you were just by yourself and you were just struggling and you sensed God's voice in your life and you realized that He was the answer, and in that moment you surrendered. There's as many stories of how we've become surrendered as there are people in here. The important part is that we have done it. We have given ourselves to Jesus. Here's how Paul explains surrendering to Jesus in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It's a great verse to have memorized. It simply says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So would you just underline that first phrase, openly declare? Because in other words, you surrender by saying openly, I am now a follower of Jesus. Jesus, you're my leader. I'm following you. I'm going to live my life for you. Then Paul says to believe in your heart. Would you underline that phrase? Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You know, Paul didn't believe that Jesus was God's Son before the day he met Jesus on the road. He thought that Jesus was just a person who died on a cross, who wasn't anybody. And so before the road to Damascus, Paul thought that he was living this holy life. He thought he was doing God's will, following God's law to the T. He thought he was right with God. And maybe right now you feel like you are right with God because you're a good person, or because you're from a good family, or because you go to church sometimes, or maybe because you do more good things than you do bad things. But I want you to understand, those things aren't what save us. That's not what gets us to heaven. The Bible says that you and I, until we surrender to Jesus, that we're all separated from God because of the sin that's in our life. We're separated from God now, and we're separated from God for eternity because we aren't living God's way, because we have this sin. Heaven isn't our eternal destination. And instead, it's this place the Bible talks about called hell. And maybe if you've not surrendered your life to God up to this point, you might be thinking that it's too late. Maybe you just had too many past choices. Well, let me just say this. I guarantee you haven't done things that are worse than what Paul did. Paul had Christians jailed and even killed. It's never too late. Jesus died to take the punishment for your sins. And if you declare that Jesus is Lord and that you're going to follow him and you believe in your heart that God did raise Jesus from the dead, then you too will be saved. Look at the words that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He says, everyone, and that everyone includes you and me, all of us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think that maybe Paul was reflecting on his own life when he wrote those words. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hey, maybe listen, today might be the day that you need to have your Damascus Road experience. The day where you finally give your life to Jesus completely. Just all aside, just say, God, it's yours. And you believe him, and you declare that he is now the leader of your life and that God raised him from the dead, and you can have this relationship with him. You know, we're going to pray in a few moments at the end of this sermon, and I'm going to give you a time, an opportunity to say that prayer, to make that decision if this is your time. But that's the first action, to develop essential quality of surrender, and that's to surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Here's the second action. As we learn how to surrender, if you want to develop the essential quality of surrendering, the second thing is that I surrender to Jesus my old identity. I surrender to Jesus my old identity, who I used to be. So when you surrender to Jesus and you become this follower of his, not only are you saved, now you're going to heaven, but something inside of you fundamentally changes. You're no longer the same person that you were. And this is so big. Paul describes it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And again, Paul is describing what happened in his own life. And so he says this, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Underline those two words, new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So what Paul is saying is when I became a Christian and I began following Jesus, my old identity is gone. Paul, the Christian killer. Paul, the Pharisee. Paul, the one who thought he was better than everyone else. Paul, the one who was on a short track to become the next leader of the Pharisees. He's now a new person. You see, before the road to Damascus, Paul identified himself as a religious leader of the highest order. But Jesus saved Paul. And he gave Paul a new identity. In fact, I want you to look at how Paul identifies himself to others after his conversion. This is his standard introduction of himself. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle, and sent out to preach his good news." Now, that's what I call surrendering your old identity to Jesus and finding a new identity in him. He saw himself as a slave, as a servant to Jesus. You know, Paul says, "Jesus, you saved me. You gave me this new life. So, Jesus, I'm going to be all yours. I surrender to you." So as we think about our identity, let me just kind of ask you a funny question. How do you identify yourself on social media? You know what I'm talking about, like at the top of Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter or X, and as it's called now. It has that section that describes yourself in just a few words. You know, some people, they put Tigers fan and avid golfer. Or maybe they put swimmer and hiker. Maybe they put financial advisor and father of three. You know, it's where you tell the world who you are in just a short snapshot. Let me ask you this. What does your social media say at the top about your identity of who you are? Paul had a Twitter, an X account. He would have at the top this. He would say, "Slave of Jesus Christ, sent to preach the good news." That would be his identity on social media. Here's a challenge for you. I dare you to change your social media identification this week. for Facebook. You go under details about you, share something about your relationship with God in the About You section. If you have Instagram, edit your profile. Put in your bio about who you are in Christ. If you have an X account, you know, formerly known as Twitter, edit your profile, put in your bio something about being a slave to Jesus, a servant to Jesus Christ. I dare you to just name it and claim it and put it out there in social media. Let the world know that you're surrendered. You surrendered your identity to Jesus, that your primary identity above your job, above your favorite sports team, even above your family. Will you tell the world that you're a follower of Jesus? And that's your primary identity. You know, when you became a follower of Jesus, you surrendered that old identity to him. And you became this new person. And I know some of you might be a little bit nervous about the idea of just putting that out on Facebook. But when Paul became a Christian, he completely surrendered to God. Everything. That was what was most important to him. In fact, let me give you just kind of a biographical snapshot of who Paul is in your notes. It's, if you're following along, it's in that gray section, that gray box. Who is Paul? So first of all, Paul was a Pharisee. He was a religious, Jewish religious leader. And by the way, the Pharisees, they were the strictest of all the Jewish leaders, and they followed the law to the letter to the tiny little bit. And so that was who he was. Before he gave his life to Jesus, Paul thought he was a little bit better than everybody else because he was a Pharisee. And he thought he was okay with God. That was his old identity. At that time, Paul's assignment was to arrest, punish, and even execute followers of Jesus. Paul had helped orchestrate the stoning of the early leader of an early leader in the Jewish Jerusalem church. He was the first martyr of the church, a guy named Stephen. And so Paul orchestrated his stonings. It was at his feet that they laid all the coats when they killed Stephen. And Paul was going on to Damascus when he was converted. He was going to do the same thing to Christians there because he despised Jesus and Christians. And more Christians were going to die because of Paul. That's where he was headed. And then the next thing, Paul had a dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And that led to his conversion to becoming a follower of Jesus. He changed his name from Saul, which was his Jewish name, to Paul, which would have been the Roman name. But after his conversion, Paul was given a new assignment by Jesus to share the gospel and to start churches. And he started at least 14 of them that we know of. There probably were even more in Asia and Europe. So Jesus said, Paul, you're not only going to stop hunting down Christians, you're going to make it your mission to bring as many people as possible to Jesus as you can and start as many churches as you can. And then Paul, he went on three epic missionary journeys, and we're going to be looking at those during this series. They were epic. They were exciting because things happened like shipwrecks and snake bites and imprisonments and even trying to stone him. It was just all very exciting. Then Paul, he wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. And when Paul was writing these, he didn't know that they were going to be a part of Scripture. He was writing letters to give spiritual direction and encouragement to the churches he had started. So these are his personal letters that became Scripture. And then Paul was beaten, and he was stoned, and he was shipwrecked and imprisoned at least three times, and even martyred for his faith in Jesus. And here's what you need to understand about Paul. Paul didn't convert to Christianity because it was going to make his life easier. He didn't convert because he thought he would make more money or because he thought he'd become famous. In fact, his life immediately became much more difficult. After he began following Jesus, he lost his job. He lost his family. He lost any amount of respect that he had built up to that point. He lost his position. He went from being the respected prosecutor to becoming the persecuted. He went from the arrester to being the arrested. Paul converted to Christianity for one reason and one reason only, because he had a life-changing encounter with the risen Jesus. And Paul's life wasn't easy. But if you were to read the 13 books of the New Testament that he wrote, you don't find any whimpering in them. There is no complaining of fatigue. There's no disappointment not having a family or not having wealth or not having prestige. Paul just simply had this joy in serving Jesus and an unquenchable hope in the life that was to come. All right, here's the final one that I want you to write down about Paul. Paul was executed as a prisoner in Rome for his faith somewhere around 67 A.D. Jesus was probably crucified around 30 A.D., so about 37 years after Jesus died on the cross, Paul was executed. Now here's the point. Paul didn't just surrender to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He surrendered his identity, and he became a brand new person. And God used this new person to completely turn the whole world upside down. Look at our next verse in Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul writes, I once thought that these things were valuable, those things who he was. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. All those things, all those titles, all that work that he had put into a career, he now saw it as all garbage compared to the life he had in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, would you like to become a brand new person? You know, like Paul, would you like to have this new identity? Are you willing to surrender that old identity to Christ and allow him to make you into a completely new person? Jesus can give you a fresh start, and he can give you a completely new identity today. So to develop this essential quality of surrender, I surrender to Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I surrender to Jesus who I was before, my old identity. And then here's the third one. I surrender to Jesus the daily control of my life. This is tough sometimes. I surrender to Jesus the daily control of my life. Following Jesus as the leader of your life, that's a daily, it's a moment-by-moment process when you surrender control of who you are to Jesus over and over and over again. Look at how the Apostle Paul describes this in Romans 12:1. We heard Quentin read this. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. He says, give these bodies of ours to God. Give all of ourselves to God because of what he has done for us. He says, let that be a living and holy sacrifice. Would you underline that phrase? Living and holy sacrifice. Because that's the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So you know what the problem is with a living sacrifice? The problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar at times. Because that's what happens in our life. You pray in the morning and you say, Jesus, I'm surrendering to you. I want you to have control of my life today until your commute to work is delayed from an accident. And then when you finally get past that bottleneck, you're cursing under your breath and you're driving like a crazy person because you can't be late to work. Or you pray in the morning and you surrender your life to Jesus. You give him control of everything until you get to that fight with your spouse or maybe one of your kids or maybe it's a coworker, and then all bets are off. You surrender control of your life to Jesus. But when it comes to things going sideways where maybe there's a temptation that's just kind of gets us at the wrong time and we take back control and we jump off that altar and we get back off track with God again. Now these things, they happen from time to time. We're going to mess up at times, and Paul wasn't perfect either. In fact, he got mad at a group of people in Galatia and he actually told them to go castrate themselves. He kind of had a problem with his anger a little bit, you know, but he always went back to Jesus and he always surrendered again. And maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you jumped off that altar this week, or maybe you crawled off that altar quite a bit ago. And you've been beating yourself up about it ever since. So I want to tell you to stop. Stop beating yourself up and surrender control of your life again. Confess the sin. Reaffirm that he's leader of your life. Reaffirm that you're following him. And then just keep surrendering to him every day. Working more and more to become like Christ. And as you surrender the daily control of your life to Jesus, it's going to lead us to our final action, developing this essential quality of surrender. And it's this: I surrender to Jesus my life's mission. I surrender to Jesus my life mission. Now, before Paul met Jesus on that dusty road to Damascus, his primary mission in life was to stop anyone who claimed that Jesus was the Messiah, because he thought that was a dangerous lie. But after Paul met Jesus, he surrendered his life mission to Jesus. Look at his words in Acts 20, verse 24. "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by my Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Paul says, my life is not, nothing is good in my life if I'm not following the mission that God has given to me. It's garbage if I don't do this mission of telling others about Jesus. So let me ask you a question. What do you think your primary mission is in life? Now, if you're like most people, even Christians, you've decided on your own what your mission is. And now, and it may be that you've made your mission to be as successful in your career as you possibly can, and nothing or no one is going to get in the way. Or maybe you made it your mission in life to have this perfect spouse and to have a perfect family, and that is just consuming your life. Maybe you've made it your mission in life to make more money and to find security in having a life where that is primary. Maybe that's become your mission. Maybe your mission in life is just to have this great retirement where you don't have to do anything. You can just sit back and enjoy life. What is your primary reason for living? When you met Jesus, he asked you to surrender to him as your Lord and Savior. And he asked you to surrender your old identity. He asked you to surrender daily control of your life. But he also asks you to surrender your life's mission to him. Because until you do that, you're missing out on the point of life for you entirely. You'll never become fully alive until you start living out the mission that God created you to live out. And so what is Jesus' mission for your life? Well, I might not know exactly what your specific mission is, but I do know parts of what your mission is. You know, one of those is that you have this mission to bring glory to God in everything you do, say, and think. And so are you bringing glory to God in the things that you're doing? And I know that part of your mission in life is using your gifts not just for yourself, but also to use it to serve in Jesus' church. Are you doing that? I do know that part of your mission is to be used by God to share your God story to help others know about Jesus. Are you doing that? So let me ask you, are you willing today to take that final step in developing this essential quality of surrender and be willing to surrender your life's mission and purpose to Jesus, whatever that might mean, wherever that might take you? And so during this series, we're going to focus on these eight essential qualities for following Jesus that we can learn from the life of Paul. And listen, we're not going to be perfect at all of these. Now, there are going to be times when we're just going to stumble, we're going to fall, and there's going to be some of these that are harder than others for us, and that's okay. Because the goal here isn't perfection, it's to keep our eyes on the heavenly prize. And so that comes from our last verse today. It's our final verse, and so I want us just to kind of read this verse out loud together. It's Philippians 3:13. Starts with, "No, dear brothers and sisters." Let's read this together. Ready? "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Look down at my notes, one slide too soon. So let's take a moment and go to God in prayer right now. And as we do, it all starts with surrender. with making the same decision that Paul did that day on that road to Damascus, to surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you feel like you need to do that today, I want us just to do this together. And I'm going to pray this prayer out loud. If you'd repeat these words in your hearts, if you would like to surrender as your personal Savior, you can do that. But let's pray. And you just say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And that God raised you from the dead to overcome the power of sin and death. I put my trust in you for my salvation. And I surrender to you as the leader of my life from this day forward in the fellowship of your church. In Jesus' name. And listen, we're going to continue to pray. But if you prayed that prayer, then this is your Damascus Road experience where you got everything right with God. And as we continue to pray, maybe you're a Christian already, and maybe there's just some areas in your life that you know you're just not surrendered in yet. The Holy Spirit's been pointing it. He's been kind of putting his finger in something, saying this is the time. And maybe because of that, that you haven't surrendered, that you're not living the life that you could be living. You're not experiencing the blessing that you could be. You're not being used by God like you could be. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. As I say it out loud, you can just pray it in your hearts, but just say, you know, Jesus, I surrender completely to you. I surrender my past identity to you. And I make my primary identity as being a follower of Jesus. Jesus, I surrender daily control of my life to you, every decision, every action. I want to follow you. And Jesus, I surrender control of my life mission to you. I've been living for things that really don't matter. Jesus, today I surrender completely to you. And when I crawl off that altar, I commit to coming back and surrendering again. Thank you for giving everything for me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the worship praise band is going to come up, and we're going to sing this song called I Surrender. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song of surrendering. And while we're singing this, if you feel like you just need to spend some time talking to God, feel free to come up to the altar. We're going to have communion as self-serve today. And so if you would like to take communion, you could come up. If you'd like to pray and then take communion. But while we're singing, we're going to have that available for us as a way of just confirming the things that you are talking with God about, the ways that he has talked to you today. Let's stand as we sing the song, I Surrender.